You're on America's Liberal Voice, the head-on radio network. We're coming back. We're at the top of our first hour. We got two more hours to go. Don't go away. We will be back, Wolfpack listeners.
Streaming around the world, around the corner, and up your alley. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19 in Arizona.
And back with you on our second hour. Welcome back, everyone. Jeff Allen Wolf here from Studio 19. All the Wolfpack listeners, thanks for joining back in. We were discussing impeachment. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. This is fantastic. The states and the cities all around Vermont voting to impeach George Bush. Cities in Vermont. And let's see what else. Grassroots way underway in Brunswick. In Portland and Farmington and Brunswick and a variety of mid-coast towns, all voting to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney. People standing up when the mayor or the congressman or the governor or who anybody at the town meeting says, are there any further business to discuss, any further business to talk about? And people saying, yes, we want to vote on George Bush and Dick Cheney being impeached. And we're not going to say take no for an answer, and they're getting people to do it. They discuss it, and the vote comes out that they've impeached George Bush and Dick Cheney. I think it's fantastic. I think it's wonderful. I'm giddy. I am, like, dancing. I am jumping around. I am in love with the idea. And you know something? Fantastic, people. Fan-freaking-tastic. It's about time. It's about time someone actually doing something and, you know, taking care of this administration with all the junk that's been happening over the, you know, past 6 years. So we're continuing on with this with Chuck Hagel. Chuck Hagel suggesting the possibility of a Bush impeachment. According to a new report in Esquire magazine, Senator Chuck Hagel, Republican, New England, has suggested that Congress may consider the impeachment of President Bush before his term ends. The president says, I don't care. He's not accountable anymore, Hagel says, measuring his words by the syllable and his syllables almost by the letter. He's not accountable anymore, which isn't totally true. You can impeach him, and before this is over, you might see calls for his impeachment. I don't know. It depends how this goes. The conversation beaches itself for a moment on the word impeachment, spoken by a conservative Republican from a safe Senate seat in a reddish state, folks. It's barely even whispered among the serious set in Washington, and it rings like a gong in the middle of the sentence. Now, even though it flowed quite naturally out of the conversation he was having about everybody had abandoned their responsibility to the country, and now there was a war going bad because of it, Hagel isn't the only one frustrated. The desire for more accountability over Bush has led to increasing calls for impeachment from the Washington State Legislature, which we talked about, the mayor of Salt Lake City, and the town hall meetings in Vermont. I'm telling you, this is working, folks. Representative Jay Inslee, Democrat Washington, said pushing for impeachment would be counterproductive because it would break our efforts to recruit conservative support for changing the course of the war in Iraq. We're trying to get conservatives to vote against the war. They're coming around. You don't hear them singing the virtues of George Bush like they used to, but nothing will turn this into a partisan lockdown faster than impeachment, Inslee said. Ending the war is what's important now. You see, I disagree in some respects, and maybe I'm naive. I think you can do both. I think you have to end the war, and I think regardless of impeachment or not, it's not a part and parcel of the same conversation. You need to end the war, period. The end, that's it. That's what America wants. Okay? The troops, the allies, the generals, all of the experts want this war ended. But you can at the same time, if there's a grassroots groundswell for the impeachment of George Bush, and these cities and towns are doing it, then yes, you could start articles of impeachment while you're getting this war wound down. It's not the Democrats, my God, the Democrats are acting so scared. My own party acting so scared to say, you know what? I can understand they didn't bring this out themselves, the Democrats. They didn't want to be the first ones to do this. But damn it, if the American public wants to do this, then who are they to say no? They need to listen to the constituency. They need to listen to the people who voted them into office. And the American public is saying impeachment. The polls are showing it. These town meetings are showing it. The Republicans are saying it. And I told you this before a couple of weeks ago. I think what the Democrats should do and are hoping to do, I felt deep down, is waiting for the Republicans to make this the idea. I was talking to my web designer over the phone yesterday. I said, you know something? I'm telling you, if the Democrats do this, they'll look bad. They'll look vindictive because of Bill Clinton and the impeachment hearings on that, Monica Lewinsky, etc. But if the Republicans start bringing this up, A, it makes the Democrats say, well, the Republicans are talking about impeachment. We're going to kind of have to listen, and we sort of agree, but we didn't want to do it on our own. The second thing is some of the smart Republicans, there are such things as smart Republicans left, some of the smart Republican leaders are realizing, you know something, they really better get on this bandwagon here or start the bandwagon themselves. Because come the time of 08, America is not going to have a short memory. They're going to see who stood up for the American public against this war and against this administration. And these Republicans were smart, and I think they're starting to wake up. They're saying, you know what, let's bring to the table impeachment. Then we could point out in 08, we're the ones who talked about impeaching our own leader of our party and of the country. And that way they're hoping the ramifications would be with you, the potential voter, saying, you know what? Republicans are not so bad. I would consider voting for a Republican for president again because they cleaned up their mess. Yeah, a little late, folks. But if the Republicans bring this to the table, I really think it's a sincere possibility, a legitimate possibility that this is taking place. Now, 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, I may be talking out my rear end. But I think, as we see it now, I'm sensing, and I'm wondering how many of you are seeing the same thing, that slowly, ever so subtly, impeachment is in the air. The winds of impeachment are starting to rear its ugly head. And it's starting to talk about, this could possibly take place. Any more things come out, any more scandals, any more problems come out, and we can get rid of Dick Cheney and George Bush with articles of impeachment or force them to resign. I think I will give it 60 days. I will say by April 1st, the end of April, if you don't see a bigger groundswell than has started now, then it's bogged down. But if it happens in 60 days or so, I think it's going forward. And I think it has a good chance of actually being introduced into the House and Senate and talk about that and actually bring it up in the public eye and the journalism media having to cover this. I'm excited. Do I want to see a president impeached? No, obviously. I don't want to see our way of politics disrupted or the world disrupted and us to look foolish. But you know what? We need to clean house. We need to make up for the problems. We need to say to the rest of the world, and preferably and realistically towards our own people, hey, this system works. And when people are wrong, this is how we get rid of them, through legal means, not like coups in other countries. We don't shoot somebody. We don't remove them from the office physically and beat them to death. We remove them legally through impeachment. And I think this is what America needs, a shot in the arm. We need to, A, end the war in Iraq, pull the troops out, clean up the diplomatic mess that George Bush and Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld and the rest Condi have made over the years, for the 6 years around the world. Get someone in power in the office who can start looking at different things like the weather and the global warming and oil and health care and minimum wage and workers and kids and students, you know, pushing them through college with more and better loans, teachers better pay, things that are now important that have seemed to have been forgotten, the so-called issues that the Republicans they claim are actually Democratic issues, should be everyone's issues, and get away from this total domination trying to take over every part of the world and put our nose in everywhere. Yes, it's one thing to be the policemen of the world or the big brothers of the world, but we're getting to the point of being the conquerors, the Genghis Khans, the Stalins, the Mongol hordes across the Middle East. And this has to stop. This has to stop. And I think the time is right. The stars are aligning. The people are speaking. The media is slowly starting to cover things. And we are at a breaking point, folks. We are at a huge breaking point. There's no more bending anymore. It's at a point where it goes snap. Nervous breakdown. Snap. Total breakdown. If we haven't gone to that point already in the United States in our way of life, we need to re-energize America. Somehow, some way, we need to start it fresh in the sense of a new set of values and goals. Squeaky clean, Windex it down, Formula 404, Swiffer it away, and get rid of all the stains and the garbage and all the bad stories that have happened over the past 6 years, all bad events where we look bad. We need to redo our diplomatic ways of doing things to countries, enemies alike. Don't get me wrong. North Korea cannot have nuclear power. Iran cannot have nuclear power. Iraq needs to get its act together. But you can't sit there and just ignore enemies. Remember what they said in The Art of War? Keep your enemies closer. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. You can't just ignore people. You need to have a dialogue. At least through dialogue, you find out what they're lying about or not lying about. But if you totally ignore them and say, we're not going to discuss anything. This country needs a purging. This country needs a reinvigoring. Reinvigoring? A reinvigorment. I'll make up my own words here. A jump charge. You know, a start to the heart. Clear. It needs a jolt of cola, a bolt of lightning. A stroke of luck. A rainbow that leads us to the promised land. The bottom line is we need to smile when we wake up in the morning and not go, damn it, what's going on in the world today again? The Iraq War. George Bush again. This Libby. This Cheney. This. People dying. 9/11. You know, we've 6 years. Man, have we gone downhill, folks. Greatest country in the world. But we have gone downhill. It needs to stop. It needs to change. What's your opinion? Wolf wants to know. WolfPackTalk@yahoo.com. WolfPackTalk@yahoo.com. Email me. Let us know what your opinion is on this. Are you excited about the impeachment possibly taking hold? People starting to talk about it under their breath? Senators actually bringing it up? Journalists starting to focus on it. WolfPackTalk@yahoo.com or 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919. Our voice comment line, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're going to take a break. We're in our second hour. When we get back, we're going to talk about Clinton calling for a GI Bill of Rights. Also, gasoline again flirts with a $3 mark. And John Edwards to skip the Nevada debates, and we'll tell you why and all the details on that. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice. And we stream our show 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., folks. Eastern Standard Time, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we replay the show at night, 9 p.m. to 12 midnight, even though the website doesn't show it, even though they don't talk about it. We have shows running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 9 p.m. to 12 midnight, you can catch this show again, Eastern Standard Time, and on the weekends, folks, and on the weekends. So hang in there. We are coming back more with the Wolfpack. Wolfpack listening audience, stay tuned and join us right back in 2 minutes for the rest of the show. Still plenty to talk about here on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
You are listening to Progressive Talk Radio, which means you are one of the lucky ones. Across the country, people have been losing their progressive talk stations, and there are many more who've never had the privilege of listening to an alternative point of view. This cannot stand, and we know you won't let it. Go to nonstopradio.com to see what you can do to help secure the future of progressive talk. Nonstopradio.com.
Hey, Wolfpack listeners. We'd like you to send us your emails and your voice comments, and the best way to do that is write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your message on our voice comment line. The number is 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919, and that gets you into Studio 19 at any hour of the day to talk about anything you want to. Mention something we talked about on the show or bring up a different topic entirely. Send your emails, send your voice comments to us, to the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We'd love to hear from you.
Narrowcast, podcast, world class. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
And back with you on the second hour of our show. Welcome back to everyone. Hope you got a nice cup of coffee or a soda or something, anything. Hope you found something that you enjoyed that's worth drinking. Anything, cold water, Aquafina. All right, moving right. Yes, Samantha says yes. Let's one or two more emails. We should do that because it's always fun to see what everyone's saying. Writing to us. Let's see. This is from, here's a young one. Sam from Urbana, Illinois. Sam says, I love your news. It's very soothing to hear news that makes sense. It seems that the American people have given up any control or desire to have such. We are now the laughing stock of the world. Our current situation is ridiculous. It is time we claim back our country. Stop this monstrous administration. Rock on, keep it real. Sam says, I found the show on iTunes. I hope you can keep it up. People need to hear this side. I'm sick of all the conservative BS I hear every day. These people are warped. I fear for the future of this country. Come on, sense. Common sense, rather. Save us. And that's Sam from Urbana, Illinois, 24 years old. Rocking on, Sam. Thank you very much. We do appreciate that. Also, we have a email from, hey, Jeff, wake up and smell the coffee. It's about renewable fuels. And it's good. It's a good email, actually. Dave from Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, listens on iTunes. He says, haven't you heard? I'm sorry. He said, you ask why we don't move into the future and begin a major move toward renewable fuels? Come on, Jeff. And I was asking rhetorically, but his point is well taken. Haven't you ever heard of companies like Texaco, Exxon, BP, Mobil? Haven't you heard that our president is a Texas oil man? Haven't you heard of the Saudi royal family and their ties to the Bush family? We don't move into the future with regard to renewable fuels because big oil, all of the above says so. Get real, Jeff. Why don't you get the DVD entitled Who Killed the Electric Car? And that's from Dave, Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, iTunes. And I agree with Dave. And we wrote him back and said we were just asking a rhetorical question. I meant to say further, and I understand Dave's email. I was saying, I don't understand why we don't go into the future. It frustrates me. And because the reason is what Dave exactly pointed out. Texaco, Exxon, BP, Mobil, Bush is a Texas oil man, Saudi royal family ties. Hey, of course we're not going to go into renewable fuels. It's not profitable. It's not profitable for us. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't benefit us. Okay? It really doesn't benefit us. Thank you, Dave. This is from one more. This is from Wayne. And Wayne says about Ann Coulter. We were talking about Ann Coulter and all her vitriol and nasty comments and using a lot of derogatory words about the Democrats and John Edwards. Thank God her 15 minutes is up, Wayne says. If you've ever seen her interviews, every other sentence out of her mouth is, buy my book. So she does use this hateful spew to sell books. She is a whore in the utmost degree because for some strange reason she lives amongst the so-called Northeastern liberal elite. She is a resident of New York City and Palm Beach, Florida. These areas are not exactly the heartland that she self-proclaims as an advocate for. She needs to relocate to some place like Montana where she and the Unabomber can live happily ever after. I guess it pays to hate. I'm Kevin from New York City, D.C. and Florida. P.S. I do not mean to dump our national sewage on a beautiful, pristine state like Montana. And that's Wayne. Thank you so much, Wayne, for the email. Keep listening. Guys, gals, ladies, gents, men, and women, your emails make a difference. Thank you for all of that, for putting your 2 cents in, letting America know what you think and the rest of the world know what you think. It's good to hear the listeners chime in on what their opinions are. Hillary Clinton is calling for a GI Bill of Rights. Now, Hillary Rodham Clinton offered a new GI Bill of Rights for men and women in uniform, arguing that Democrats can do a better job of protecting and providing for U.S. troops than the Republican administration. This administration is frankly unable to run a two-car parade, the Democratic presidential candidate said in a speech at the Center for American Progress, a think tank run by former Clinton White House aide John Podesta. The New York senator who leads early polls of Democrats and contenders for the party's nomination said she would put together a package of proposals designed to ensure troops have all the equipment they need when they're deployed, to ensure they receive proper health care, and to provide for families. It almost sounds like her health care package. She's taking it to the troops now. Remember, Hillary championed, led the lead in the Bill Clinton administration to try to get national health care, which was kind of shot down by the Republicans. Hillary says, I'm here to say the buck does stop with this president. If he doesn't take responsibility, I assure you that the next president will, the Democratic senator said Thursday. Her call for better benefits for troops come amid a public outcry over conditions at outpatient facilities at a Washington military hospital roughly 7 miles from both the White House and Congress, Walter Reed. In the leadership vacuum that has been left by the Bush administration, too many members of the military and their families have been left literally holding their breath, Clinton said. Clinton, a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, has been an outspoken critic of Bush's handling of the Iraq War, but she has resisted calls by some in her party to label her 2002 vote authorizing the war a mistake. She has said she wouldn't have voted to authorize the war if she knew then what she knew now. Her proposals come as Democrats in Congress seek to curtail Bush's recent troop increase to Iraq, an effort Republicans charge is tantamount to abandoning U.S. troops in the field. So Hillary calling for a GI Bill of Rights, a standard Bill of Rights, so when any troops get deployed anywhere in the world, they have the proper equipment, also they'll have the proper health care if they have any injuries, etc., due to war, due to fighting, due to skirmishes, etc. So pretty interesting. Obviously, Hillary talking about what she would do to show the American public she would make a good president. One wonders any of these candidates, Republican or Democratic alike, if they come out with proposals like this, how many of the proposals only are because they are now in the public eye and they are running for office, so they're now saying, hey, look what I'll do, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I'll give Hillary the doubt. I'll give all the other candidates the doubt. The Republicans and Democrats are saying what they want to say, except, of course, McCain, because McCain changes his mind whenever the wind blows. McCain would be the one who would say, I like a GI Bill of Rights in front of the troops. And then later on somewhere else, he would say, I don't think the Bill of Rights would work because McCain is the biggest flip-flopper, and McCain is the worst example of someone I wouldn't support. But all the other candidates, Democrats and Republicans alike, I'll cut them some slack and say they are actually trying to bring something up that's a little bit different to the American public, other than the same old, same old. Let's see, a little quick side story here I wanted to bring to your attention. I want to talk about this. I want to get this in, and hopefully we could squeeze this in before. Can we squeeze this in? Yes. Panel slams banks over credit practices. This is about time, folks. An Ohio man whose $3,200 credit card debt mushroomed to $10,700 with interest and fees told a story Wednesday to senators. Senators are starting to do this, folks, who denounced the industry of credit card for confusing billing practices and shifting interest rates. Executives of three major banks defended their credit card practices as responsible and responsive to consumers' needs in testimony at the hearing of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Investigative Subcommittee. Those from Citicorp Inc., Chase Bank USA said their companies were eliminating some practices, including the one that hit Wesley Wanamaker of Lima, Ohio, with over-limit fees on his Chase card account 47 times, although he went over his credit limit only 3 times, folks. We all agree that the credit card industry needs to be cleaned up. The senators are looking at it. The interest charges and fees on Wanamaker's account more than tripled his debt, despite his having made payments averaging $1,000 a year over 6 years, noted Senator Carl Levin, Democrat, Michigan, the subcommittee chairman. Unfair? Clearly, I think, Levin said. He said an investigation by the panel found that sky-high interest charges and fees are not uncommon in the credit card industry. While the Wanamaker account happened to be a Chase, penalty interest rates and fees are also employed by Bank of America, Citicorp, and other major credit card issuers. Richard Serendicki, the chief executive officer of Chase Card Services, apologized to Wanamaker in his testimony. In this case, we simply blew it, he said. Serendicki said the company's decided to no longer charge over the credit limit fees to customers who have been in a chronic over limit position for 90 days. Can they do that retroactive for all of us, folks? Wanamaker used a new Chase card in 2001 and 2002 to pay for expenses mostly related to his wedding. He had $3,200 in purchases, interest charges in $4,900, 47 over-limit charges totaling $1,500, late fees of $1,100 for total charges on his bill, $10,700 as of February. He paid $6,300, leaving a $4,400 balance, which Chase agreed to waive after he contracted the subcommittee staff members of the Senate. Good for you. Debt seems to invoke a feeling of hopelessness unlike any other problem I've encountered, Wanamaker testified at the hearing. When a debtor calls you on the phone and you make a minimum payment, you know that you've made no real progress, and that in a month they will be calling again. My mom went through this horrendously. It was awful. Senator Norm Coleman of Minnesota, the panel's senior Republican, said high interest rates on credit cards, hefty fees, and crippling penalties impede more and more hardworking families from pursuing their American dream. The problem is worsened by the impenetrable language of credit card disclosures provided to consumers, he said. Yeah, think? You ever see those detailed legalese, people? Ridiculous. While the credit card practices in question are legal, Levin is threatening possible legislation to outlaw them as a spur to the banking industry for voluntary changes. Senate Banking Committee Chairman Christopher Dodd and other Democratic senators challenged credit card executives at a hearing in January over rising late fees and other penalties and marketing practices they portrayed as predatory. Dodd, Democrat, Connecticut, said he was putting the industry on notice that if it doesn't improve practices on its own, legislation may be warranted. Since Democrats assumed control of Congress in January, they have put a number of consumer issues on the legislative agenda, with Americans weighed down by some $850 billion, billion folks with a B, in consumer debt. The practices of the robustly profitable credit card industry are a compelling subject for scrutiny. Citicorp, the nation's largest financial institution, announced last week that it was eliminating the practice of so-called universal default, raising interest rates for card purchasers, customers, because of their failure to pay other creditors on time. In addition, Citicorp said it would eliminate some types of interest rate increases that have been criticized. Credit card issuers raise customers' rates and fees, for example, when they believe it is warranted by conditions in the financial markets. But under Citicorp's new policy, rates and fees will be increased before a card expires only if the customer pays late, exceeds his credit card limit, or pays with a check that bounces. Or if the rate is linked to the prime interest rate, it would rise or fall in tandem. So good. Senators are looking into the credit card practices, the fraud, I think. I think it's fraud, folks. I think it's total fraud in the way the credit card companies do this stuff. And I think it's about time the government, the senators, step in and do something about it. Applause to them for doing it, Republicans and Democrats alike. If you want to comment on this, you know the email, wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. Yes, stop the garbage that goes on with the deceptive, manipulative fees on credit cards that are screwing this country into the ground with BS, bogus, lying practices. I'm Jeff Allen Wolf. You're on the Head On Radio Network, America's Liberal Voice. We're coming right back.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
Wolfpack listeners, we have a new thing going on. It's called the Wolfpack 300. That's right. It's the Loyal Listener Club of this show, the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. And it's very easy to join, and it's free. If you want to become a member of the Wolfpack 300, write us an email, put in the subject line Wolfpack 300, your first name, your age range, the city, state, or country where you're listening to the show from, and how you heard about the show. We're going to put our first 300 loyal listeners of the Wolfpack on our webpage, a special page just for the Wolfpack 300, where we're going to have your first name and the city, state, or country you represent from all around the world. The Wolfpack 300, it's easy and it's free. Write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com and join the Wolfpack 300 today.
On this show, there's only one rule: no spin. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19, Arizona.
And back with you. Welcome back to the Wolfpack listening audience. Oh, so much in the news today. So much in the news. So many things happening. Woo-hoo, hoo-hoo, hoo. And, I have to take the headphones off here. Getting hotter in the studio in Arizona. We had the heat on for the past few months, and now it's reaching 86 degrees during the day. We're going to have to switch to air conditioning again, and I'm going to have to start wearing shorts and a T-shirt instead of long jeans and a long-sleeve shirt. Wow. Amazing the Arizona weather, how it just changes, it changes, it changes, it goes all over the place. Let's get a couple of more emails in, shall we? This is from Dave. Dave says, what's next for Dickhead Cheney? Or was Scooter the VP's sacrificial lamb? Let's talk about it, Jeff. This needs exposure. Actually, we did, Dave. We were talking about that they're going after Dick Cheney in a civil suit. And, yes, it needs exposure. Libby possibly was just the scapegoat. A lot of the news stories are talking about this. And hopefully they're not going to let this go, because there's more to the story. And, Dave, there's more things that could lead to the undoing of this administration. This could be the Watergate type of story where Cheney and Rove and all the rest are not immune to what's going on. So stay tuned. Let's see what plays out for the next few weeks, Dave. And as it happens, we'll talk more about it. But, yes, I think you're right. It's a story that needs to be talked about, and we will do that, I guarantee you. This is from Kevin. Kevin says, forgive me, I'm 26 years old, and as a somewhat recent postgraduate that is still close enough to that college age, I can tell you it is not that we don't, okay, and this is in reference to, I got to backtrack. We were talking about why the young don't vote, and Kevin's responding to our article, our news story about why the young seem to not vote when it comes down to the actual polling. You know, they do the polling, they do the campaigns, and when it comes actually going to the polls and vote, the story says the young are lagging behind and actually going out to the polls. And Kevin says, dear Mr. Wolf, thank you, you can call me Jeff, Kevin, but I appreciate that. Forgive me, I'm 26 years old, and as somewhat a recent postgraduate that is still close enough to that college age, I can tell it is not that we don't vote many times, we are discouraged to vote. I hear you, Kevin. This is a result of the voter district system. Many of us do attend schools outside our district. All too often, absentee ballots are hard to come by. When we try to register where we attend school, that it is often a difficult task because many of us have out-of-district IDs and addresses. We need to reform the voter district system and repeal the electoral vote on presidential elections. Kevin, you raise a very good point, and I wasn't aware of that. Have you, and I don't mean to seem sound trite on this or push you away with your question or your point, have you written to your local congressman or senator or got on the phone and talked to an aide and bring this up? Because this is very important, and I'm wondering if, I'm sure they're aware of it, but maybe you need to speak up and say exactly what you wrote to me in an email. And I'm wondering if you'd do that, or anybody in your age range or younger would actually get on who's going through the same thing you're going through school. And Kevin's saying, when we try to register where we attend school, that is often a difficult task because many of us have out-of-district IDs and addresses. We need to reform the voter district system. So call up your local senator where you are, Kevin. I don't know where you're located, but call up where you are. Tell your senator, tell your congressman, talk to the aide and say, look, this is important. Can you not just go on the phone, but actually write this down and talk to the senator to address this? A lot of the young voters would come out, but you're burning us off because of this problem with the voters' cards. Let them know. That is an excellent, excellent email, and I thank you for bringing that to my attention. This is from Chris. We were talking about Rudy Giuliani, and I said I don't like Rudy Giuliani because I think he lies through his teeth, and I think he's a liberal, and if the Republicans vote him in as the nominee for the 08 election for the Republicans, for the GOP, then they would have no problem with Hillary. They'd have no problem with Barack Obama or John Edwards. Chris, who's a Republican, one of my Republican listeners, says, Jeff, hey, I think you're right about Giuliani. I'm just not too interested in voting for him. The issue, though, is that right now there isn't a lot of choice. I think the Republican Party, this is his own party, he's admitting, is where the Democratic Party was in 04. Just being able to offer the least bad option. Hopefully that changes soon and someone right for the job steps up. Otherwise, I think it's a gimme for Hillary or Obama. A lot of time to go through. It'll be interesting to see what happens later, Chris. Chris is a good emailer who we've had dialogue back and forth where even though he doesn't agree with anything I've said, now I shouldn't say that, 99% of the things I have said he doesn't agree with, but he respects the show and the quality of the show and the staff and the hard work we're doing. Thank you, Chris. Keep your emails coming. We do appreciate your feedback. All right, let's get right to the rest of our stories, our articles. Let me take a sip of Aquafina here. Oh, nothing like lubricating the throat and getting it ready for another 4 hours of talking. Okay, there we go. Let's jump right in. Where are we at? Where are we at? Okay, gasoline. How's gasoline doing in your area, folks? Wasn't it not too long ago we saw gasoline coming down slowly, 230, 227, 222, 218, whatever. Now all of a sudden it's going right back up to $3. Yep, they screw us left and right, don't they, folks? Well, gasoline again flirts with a $3 mark. From San Francisco, the AP wire, gasoline prices have jumped above $3 a gallon in some parts of California and Hawaii, and may hit that level in other parts of the country when this busy summer driving season approaches. It kills me, said Gloria Nunez, 53, as she filled her Ford Explorer SUV. First of all, Gloria, get rid of the Ford Explorer. Get rid of the SUV. It's a gas guzzler. So instead of complaining, the first step, and don't get me wrong, I like Explorers, I like SUVs, but, you know, you need to go to something else that's more fuel economy. Otherwise, you're going to get really nailed. But Gloria Nunez, 53, as she's filling her Ford Explorer SUV at a San Jose gas station, Nunez, a clerk for communications company, has started working a couple of hours of overtime each week to help soften the blow. All of a sudden, you kind of have to watch your penny, she said. Analysts say drivers should brace for more increases in the coming weeks. Crude oil, which makes up about half the price of gasoline, is trading above $60 a barrel. Higher demand, refinery maintenance, and fears about springtime shortages are also driving up prices, particularly on the West Coast. The West Coast will certainly be the wild, wild west this year, said Tom Close, a chief oil analyst for the Oil Price Information Service. Extensive maintenance work at West Coast refineries has curtailed suppliers and exacerbated the typical preseason rally spurred by jitters about tight supplies. Now, in the rest of the country, it's just petronoia, as they say in this article. They're worried that they won't have enough gasoline, Close said. But on the West Coast, the concern might be warranted. However, analysts say it's unlikely other parts of the country would see $3 gasoline before summer without a major distribution in supplies. Average fuel choices and prices are still below the historical highs, most of which were set in 2006, but are inching higher weeks earlier than usual. Now, Waluku on the Hawaiian island of Maui currently has the highest average price for a gallon of regular unleaded at about $3.20 per gallon. On the mainland, the title goes to San Francisco, where a gallon averages $3.10, a jump of about 34 cents from a month ago, but still off the high of $3.36 set in May 2006, according to the AAA Daily Fuel Gauge report for Wednesday. The Wire Service article goes on to say that the California cities of Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, and Oakland are also above $3 a gallon. Most other areas of the state are just a few cents away from cracking that milestone. Motorists say they're cutting back to save money. I take the bus, said Hector Esqueda, an 18-year-old Justice Administration student from Los Angeles who has stopped driving his gas-guzzling older model Lincoln Continental to save money. Other people are doing the same thing. The bus is packed. Nationwide, the average price for a gallon of regular unleaded is up about 32 cents. 32 cents from a month ago. And it's up to $2.50, according to the AAA report. That's more than 55 cents shy of the all-time high record in September 2005 after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita damaged the Gulf of Mexico refinery infrastructure. Part of the reason is rising demand, the U.S. Energy Information Administration said Wednesday. The gasoline demand has averaged more than 9.1 million barrels per day over the past month, a 3.3% jump over the same period last year. Now, oil prices jumped by more than $1 per barrel on Wednesday, settling in at $61.82 per barrel, after the agency also reported an unexpected drop in crude oil inventories as import levels reached their lowest points in 2005. Across the country, drivers were grappling with how to manage the sudden spike. Outside a Sunoco convenience store in downtown Philadelphia, T.J. Hawk, a 45-year-old retired Philadelphia police officer, recalled the good old days when it cost $5 to fill the tank. These days, it takes at least $40 to fill his white Volvo. Most weeks, he only fills it three-quarters of the way to soften the hit to his wallet. In Philadelphia, regular unleaded averaged about $2.57 a gallon early Wednesday morning, a 12% jump from a month ago, but still well shy of the high of $3.36 a gallon set in September 2005. Several customers at a mobile station in St. Petersburg, Florida were upset because there seemed to be no real reason for the price increase. Prices at the station range from $2.47 a gallon for regular to $2.69 for premium. Lee Frank, a client manager from St. Petersburg, spent about $40 to put 16 gallons in her Toyota Highlander. She works at home and can go a week or two without filling up. Lucky her. Katrina, I can understand, Frank said. I didn't see a very good explanation this time. You hear so many excuses, it gets to where you don't believe anything anymore. In Chicago, cab driver Nathan Michaels pays $25 each day to gas up his cab. That cost plus the $325 per week he pays to lease his cab makes it difficult to earn a living, even though he works 6 days a week. He's been considering buying an SUV for personal use, but thinks with gas prices rising, he'll start researching hybrid vehicles. The rising gas prices also raises anxiety in a more general way, he said. It contributes to an overall feeling of uncertainty about what's going on worldwide. Well, you know, I've said it before. I really believe this. A lot of people may think I'm nuts. Several people have taken me to task. I think the prices are manipulated. I've had people tell me, oh, come on, how can the government manipulate gas prices? I think they can, folks. I think they can raise it or lower it whenever they want. I think they can get away with murder. And I think they feel no matter what, they can do whatever they want and just kill us in the wallet as far as gas goes. We're coming back. We're going to take a break. This is the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. You're on America's Liberal Voice, the head-on radio network. Email us if you have opinions on this. We're coming back from Studio 19 live in Arizona. Samantha, my producer, myself. Wolfpack listeners, come on back. 2 minutes, we'll be right back here with more of the show.
Want to be a part of the digital revolution and profit legally from the world of music and entertainment? Now's your opportunity. Go to musicmediacenter.com. Consumer demand for digital content has exploded, and it's grown from $16 million in 2002 and will grow to an estimated $4 billion in 2008. Yes, billion. That's just from people downloading music. Want to profit from this? Go to musicmediacenter.com. Look, the reality is that the amount of people buying their music from retail stores has declined. Online digital provides unlimited selection and instant delivery for free in real time. And it's not just about music. It's movies, games, books, TV shows, ringtones, even concert tickets. Don't be left behind. Take 5 minutes from your day and go to musicmediacenter.com. You can profit from this digital explosion. Isn't the financial security of you and your family worth 5 minutes of your time? The transition to digital only happens once, and it's happening now. Grab hold of the digital future. Go to www.musicmediacenter.com.
You are listening to Progressive Talk Radio, which means you are one of the lucky ones. Across the country, people have been losing their Progressive Talk stations, and there are many more who've never had the privilege of listening to an alternative point of view. This cannot stand, and we know you won't let it. Go to nonstopradio.com to see what you can do to help secure the future of Progressive Talk. nonstopradio.com.
Hey, Wolfpack listeners. We'd like you to send us your emails and your voice comments, and the best way to do that is write us at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. That's WOLFPACKTALK at yahoo.com. Or you can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your message on our voice comment line. The number is 206-350-3919. 206-350-3919, and that gets you into Studio 19 at any hour of the day to talk about anything you want to. Mention something we talked about on the show or bring up a different topic entirely. Send your emails, send your voice comments to us, to the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. We'd love to hear from you.
Unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, but with a huge dose of common sense. It's Jeff Allen Wolf.
And we're back again for the last couple of minutes of the rest of our second hour here on the show. Welcome back to all the Wolfpack listeners. It is getting awfully hot in the studio, Samantha. We really need to turn the air conditioning on. I am sweating to death here. Wow. All right. Samantha says it's that time, so let's do that. You want to jump right into that? All right, young lady, you know exactly what you're talking about. So let's play it. Be my guest.
Wolf Swackies, Wolf Swackies. It's Wolf Swackies Stories.
are our second offbeat and weird Wolf's Wacky Stories of the day. Angry German tourist drops his pants at airport x-ray machine. A 66-year-old German tourist annoyed by stringent security at Manila's airport dropped his pants before walking through an x-ray machine, newspapers said Monday. Authorities were not amused. Instead of boarding a flight to Frankfurt on Friday, Hans-Jürgen Oskar von Nusch-Kraschwiska was detained after police filed the complaint of lasciviousness against him, the Philippine Daily Inquirer and the Philippine Star newspapers reported. He must have been annoyed that he was asked to walk through the x-ray machine twice, so he took off his pants. Airport security chief Angel Altubo was quoted saying, Oskar spent the weekend in police detention and was to face the prosecutor later Monday. If convicted, he could face 6 months to 6 years in jail. He actually didn't say much, unlike Filipino passengers who would talk a lot. He was clearly irked. He showed it by disrobing. The Inquirer quoted police subtenant Altilio Morano saying that. So angry German tourist drops his pants at the airport x-ray machine. And that's the Wolf's Wackies for our second hour.
Unfiltered, unspun, a little unhinged, unshaven, uncorked, unglued, but totally assembled. It's Jeff Allen Wolf with a huge dose of common sense for you.
And back with you, Jeff Allen Wolf, for the last 9.5 minutes of the second hour here on the Head On Radio Network. Can we take a, Samantha, I need to take a quick break and change my shirt. Believe it or not, it is hot in the studio. Can we play, you know what, let's play that cut. Let's play a fun cut for the people. Let's do an oldie but goldie, the Freedom Toast. And being that Karl Rove is in the news because of the Libby trial, let's play cut number two from the Republican book, Karl Rove, okay? The Republican book. And also, don't forget, we're giving away one copy of the Saturday Night Live, history of an uncensored history of Saturday Night Live, live from New York, written by Tom Shales and James Andrew Miller, as told by its stars, writers, and guests. 700 pages. Great book, addicting book. If you like Saturday Night Live, great. If you're into just TV and how a TV show runs and how it was put together, the rise and fall of a popular show like Saturday Night Live, I'm giving away one copy. Write me at wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com. 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 Put in the subject line book. Put in your first name, city, state, or country you're listening from, how you heard about the show, your age range, and tell me you'd like to be entered into the wolfpacktalk@yahoo.com book thing. We are taking the 19th email, folks. We've been running this for 2 days now. The 19th email. And that's going to be the lucky winner of the copy of this Saturday Night Live book. So email us. We're going to take a short break. We're going to play a cut from the Freedom Toast. And it's called Karl Rove, and it's about Karl Rove, and it's called The Happy Plunderer. So enjoy it, folks, and we'll be right back in about a minute and a half. I need to just switch, put on the air here in the studio in the hallway, and make sure I don't die and melt before the show's over. Samantha?
Yeah. Wait. That's an idea. I think the best way to convey some ideas is through song. Here we go.
I am the Happy Plunderer. What the connection is, I love a whining drill. Halabee, halabah, hail for me. Halabee, halabah, I love that happy sound.
From Studio 19 in Arizona, it's Jeff Allen Wolf, again on the Venture 3 Radio Network.
And back with you. Thank you for your indulgence. It was getting roasting in here. Arizona weather, they had it on heat. And I look like the Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch, melting away, and I was drenched in my chair here. It wasn't a pretty sight, folks, so I had to towel down, put on a shirt, and make sure that the thing was switched over. Thank God we control Studio 19 and the air conditioning. We found everyone passed out in the hallway from the heat, so now we're okay. Wow, it's coming to that time now. We're going to reach 110 degrees temperature in about 8 weeks. All right. Anyways, we're coming to the end of our second hour. I want to read one more email. This was a very important email, and this came from. Where's the email here? Donna was quoting. You know what? Let me say that because we're up against time in the second hour. We'll come back with the emails then. We got the Wolfpack 300 Club. You know about that. You can join in. You got the comment line 206-350-3919. You've got the Saturday Night Live book we're giving away. Yes, it's not politics. Yes, it has nothing to do with anything important in the world. It's just a fun book. We try to give out goodies when we come across. We had an extra copy of the book in great condition. We want to give it away to somebody on our dime. And just as a thank you to someone who takes the time to email, the 19th email. So if you emailed already, don't email again. But if you've not emailed yet, the lucky 19th person will win the book. And just email us. Tell us whatever you want, whatever you want to talk about. Let us know what's on your mind. We got a lot coming up in the third hour. Let you know. John Edwards skipping the Nevada debate. He's annoyed because Fox News is controlling it. Transpartisan coalition calls for whistleblower hearings. Makers of sodas try a new pitch. They're telling us it's healthy, the sodas. We're going to talk about automakers asking a judge to dismiss a global warming lawsuit. That's right. Dead Russian reporter was investigating an arms sale to Iran and Syria. You notice a lot of people are dying in Russia? They're speaking out against, or they're investigating the Kremlin, and they're mysteriously dying, folks. A bill would block credit cards for illegals. Also, the sports fans who drink the most wine are, they're going to announce. And Denver unveils parking meters for the homeless. What the hell is that about? And our Wolf's Wackies, and of course, some emails and just a lot of fun stuff on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. So don't go away. We've got a lot more ahead. We get as much in as we can. Remember, we're 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are replayed again Monday through Friday. Every Monday through Friday, we're replayed. And that's basically at 9 p.m. to 12 midnight on the Head On Radio Network. We're replayed on the weekends. Tell your friends we're on Apple iTunes. They're listed under the radio section. When you click on radio, then you see talk. You click on talk. There's only three talk stations, networks there. One is Air America, who's not broadcasting right now because they're in the middle of that merger. They take over the buy. Second is Radio Power, which is basically non-existent, and they don't have a lot of shows on. They have a lot of silly little shows left and right. They've gone. Their heyday is over. They did a great run for 5 years. And us, the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. So take the time to tell your friends. Tune in, listen to Mark Levine and Bob Kincaid and John Fox and Joe Vecchio and Guy James and Dr. Bill and all the rest in my show on the Head On Radio Network. And go check out TalkStream Live, by the way, folks. TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live. They're listing all the shows and they rank the shows, and it's kind of interesting. We're doing pretty well against Rush Limbaugh. I'm excited. We're going to take a break. We're coming to the top of our third, top of the end of our second hour, coming up to the top of our third hour. More of the Jeff Allen Wolf Show from Studio 19 in Arizona. Right after a minute, don't go away. We're back. Wolfpack listeners, come on back.
And you don't have to cry no more. And you don't ever have to be alone.
Streaming around the world, around the corner, and up your alley. It's Jeff Allen Wolf from Studio 19 in Arizona.
And back with you for the third hour of the Jeff Allen Wolf Show. Welcome back to all the Wolfpack listeners listening in on iTunes, Apple iTunes. And we thank you so much for taking the time to do that. And let's get to that email. We were talking about the email. You're listening to us live from Studio 19, Samantha, my producer. We received a couple of emails from Donna. And Donna was responding to a couple of things, and I'm going to read what Donna responded to. So this is kind of cool. Donna is from Donna. I live in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, right around the corner from me. And I'm 50 years old. I found you on iTunes. So far, so good, she says. She's responding to about Gore and his electric bill at his mansion. The people were attacking him because he's now in the limelight because his Inconvenient Truth won an Oscar. He may run for president again. So they're going after him every way they can to make sure, you know, they put him in his place. And Donna writes, I think maybe Gore has a high electric bill because he has WMDs. Don't tell anyone because they might try to ruin him or bomb his home. Maybe he grows medicinal marijuana or has a lot of guests. They hate Al Gore because he is educated, and that's not a conservative value. Donna goes on to say, I listen, hey guys, I really don't know who you are yet, but I listen in the evenings when I'm home on weekends. I found you on iTunes mostly because Air America has no sound right now. That's right, folks. If you're an Air America listener, so glad you found us because it's so hard to compete with Air America. Everyone thinks Air America is the only network out there, and you'll find out our talk show hosts are just as viable. So if you're an